Blessed Sunday to all of you, GCF East, brothers and sisters, and friends. Indeed, the Lord is great and greatly to be praised for all the things He has done in our lives, in our current situation. And as we read our call to worship passage today, let us be reminded that the Lord's steadfast love endures forever. Join me as I read Psalm 118, verses 1 to 4, and then verses 28 to 29. Let us read all together. O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, His steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, His steadfast love endures forever. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Join me in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your steadfast love. Your enduring mercy is given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for this time that we can be together. We can join our hearts in worship to your most holy name. All these things, Lord, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
Grace to God and praise, I sing today, your love song. to make the wretched's treasure. How great the pain of feeling loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which are not chosen one, bring many sons of glory. Beyond the veil of the cross, I see the punished shoulder, the shame I hear a mocking voice, for love among the scoffers. It was my sin that filled him there, my fear. Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should any promise reward? I can't give an answer, but this I know with all my heart: His wounds have made my rest.
Magandang araw, GCF East, and it is a privilege to preach the Word of God to you today. And as we begin, ito pong ating worship service, tayo po muna ay manalangin. Tayo po ay manalangin. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for brand new day, Panginoon, the week that you have given us as your children. Come together in worship, and we ask, Lord, for your grace, be upon us as a church, as a family, Panginoon. May you guide us by your word. May your spirit illuminate to us your word, Panginoon. Mangusap ka po sa amin sa pamagitan ng iyong salita. May you open our hearts. And thank you, Lord. We ask, Lord, for your blessing sa amin pong oras ngayon. Ito pong aming samundalangin sa pangalan ni Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, ito pong kagalakan na tayo po ngayon nagsama-sama to study the Word of God. And alam po ninyo, as you all know, we are studying yung Psalm. And during itong lockdown, pinag-aaralan po natin mga Psalm passages. And today, pag-aaralan natin is Psalm 52. So, ito pong Psalm na to is about enduring love of God. And before we go there, mag-start po muna ako sa isang kwento, isang story. And ito pong story na ito, nangyari siya noong November 2012. So, yung bank, Cornerstone Bank sa Waco, Nebraska, was robbed. And natangay ng robber is $6,000 na pera ng banko. So, habang iniimbestigahan ng mga detectives yung crime scene, yung mga bank employee
nagbigay sila ng detailed description kung sino yung gumawa ng krimen. So isang babae, teenage girl, ginawa niya yung krimen, pati yung getaway vehicle na ginamit niya. And as it turned out, the investigators didn't really need yung mga descriptions coming from those witnesses. Kasi because after a few days, etong robber na ito, na teenager, nag-record siya ng isang video at saka pinost niya sa YouTube. Pinangalanan niyang Chick Bank Robber. Wherein, pinagmamayabang niya yung kanyang na-hold up na pera, 6,000, pinapaypay niya sa kanyang muka. And in that YouTube video, etong teenage girl na ito, 19 years old, nagngangalang Hannah sa bata, ay sinabi pa niya doon na I just stole a car and robbed a bank. Now I am rich. I can pay off my college financial aid and tomorrow I am going for a shopping spree. And Hannah's brief criminal career ended later that week when police took her into custody. Crime does indeed pay. But yung iba sa atin sasabihin natin, well, not all crime does pay. Some get away with it. Well, that may happen in this life, but that will never happen in God's heavenly court. In that court, every crime, every sin will be dealt with because the righteous judge will judge righteously and justly. And a true believer understand this. Naintindihan ng isang believer that even the wicked people will triumph in this world, even the wicked people will do harm to him, naintindihan niya that God will ultimately rescue him because God's love endures towards his people. In his heavenly throne, God will uphold the righteous and punish the wicked. In his heavenly throne, no wicked people will boast of his evil deeds and accomplishment. And Psalm 52 gives us a glimpse of God's enduring love towards his people and his righteous judgment towards the wicked. And the background of this psalm is makikita natin sa heading or superscript. So sabi sa heading ng Psalm 52, to the choir master, I must kill of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. Yung superscript or yung heading is a part of the inspired text. And hindi lahat ng psalms ay may superscript. Meron lang about 116 na psalms na merong headings. But etong Psalm 52 is part siya ng relatively few na psalms, na mga 13 na psalms, na di lang siya may heading, kundi sa heading, makikita natin yung historical background, bakit sinulat itong psalm na ito. Sabi sa heading, to the choir master, a maskil. So it is a skillful and artistic psalm that teaches wisdom and it was written by David. Kailan niya sinulat? When Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. Now, we don't know kung saan niya ito sinulat. Kung saan niya sinulat itong psalm na ito. Iba sinasabi, sinulat niya ito sa isang cave nung siya ay nasa Adulam, but hindi tayo sigurado for sure kung saan. But one thing that we know is that sinulat niya ito nung mga panahon na sinabi ni Doeg kay Saul na si David ay pumunta sa house ni Ahimelech. And this psalm is based on a historical account. So this is based on a true story. So para siyang isang original soundtrack ng isang movie. And this historicity ng account na ito ay mas lalo pang pinagtibay because yung mga events surrounding this psalm was also quoted by Christ. Now, sinulat ito ng mga gospel writers sa Matthew chapter 12, Mark chapter 2, tsaka Luke chapter 6. And we all know that Luke was a historian. So this was indeed a psalm based on a historical account. So, true to life, psalm to. Now, ano ba yung historical background ng psalm na ito? Makikita natin yung historical background sa 1 Samuel 21 to 22. And etong psalm na ito was written by David during the time he was running from King Saul. And dahil sa selos, si Saul plotted to kill David. His son, si Jonathan, yung best friend ni David, warned him and helped him escape from Saul. David fled to Nob and spoke to Ahimelech, the high priest, and it seems that during those times, yung tabernacle ay nakalocate sa Nob. Na wala pang temple, tabernacle na nasa Nob. So humingi siya ng pagkain kay Ahimelech and he gave him yung showbread as his food. David also asked for a spear or sword and Ahimelech gave David the sword of Goliath. And pagkatapos kumain and makakuha ng armas, umalis na si David. And while yung mga bagay na iyon nangyayari, no, si Doeg, the Edomite, yung chief herdsman ni Saul, witness ang lahat ng nangyayari. Nakita niya yung lahat. And what Doeg did is nireport niya ito kay Saul. And kung titignan natin, yung account kung papaano niya ito sinabi is that sinabi niya ito nung time na naglilita niya si Saul sa kanyang mga soldiers. Sabi ni Saul, ako yung nagbigay sa inyo ng mga lupain. Ginawa ko kayong mga commanders. But yet you conspired against me. Wala man lang nagsabi sa inyo na ang aking anak na si Jonathan made a covenant kay David. None of you is sorry for me or discloses to me that my son has stirred up my servant against me. Lahat ng tao nag-conspire against me pero wala man lang kayong pakialam. Abang naglilita niya si Saul, eto si Doeg, papogi points. Sabi niya, bossing, nakita ko si Ahimelech, the high priest. Binigyan si David ng pagkain and yung sword ni Goliath. Binigay niya sa kanya. And upon hearing the story that was told by Doeg, ginawa ni Saul, pinatawag niya si Ahimelech and lahat ng mga priests sa kanyang pamilya and yung conversation nila makikita natin sa 1 Samuel 22 verses 11 to 15. So I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Sabi dito sa verse 11 ng chapter 22 ng 1 Samuel. King Saul immediately sent for Ahimelech and all his family who served as priest at Nob. When they arrived, Saul shouted at him, "Listen to me, you son of Ahitub. What is it, my king?" Ahimelech asked, "Why have you and the son of Jesse conspired against me?" Saul demanded, "Why did you give him food and a sword? Why have you consulted God for him? Why have you encouraged him to kill me as he is trying to do this very day?" Alam natin, itong accusation ni Saul is not true, was not true. This is not what really happened. Saul assumed that David wants to kill him kasi his heart was full of hatred and jealousy kay David. So verse 14, ito yung sagot ni Ahimelech. Sabi niya, "But sir," Ahimelech replied, "is anyone among all your servants as faithful as David, your son-in-law? Why he is the captain of your bodyguard and highly honored member of your household? This was certainly not the first time I had consulted God for him. May the king not accuse me and my family in this matter, for I knew nothing at all of any plot against you." Sinabi ni Ahimelech kay Saul, ito yung totoo. But Saul, after hearing that, nagalit siya and he shouted, "You will surely die, Ahimelech, along with your entire family." No, Saul doesn't want to hear the truth. He was furious and in anger, inutusan niya ang lahat ng bodyguard niya na patayin si Ahimelech and all his family na priests who were with him. "Kill this priest of the Lord," sabi ni Saul, "for they are allies and conspirators, conspirators with David, they knew he was running away from me, but they didn't tell me. Kumbaga, sabi ni Saul, damay-damay na kayong lahat. But you know what? Walang sumunod na bodyguard. Kahit isa. Of course, sino ba naman kung gustong patayin yung family ng priest? Sinong gustong pumatay ng high priest? But there's one person na sumunod. Si Doeg. Ginawa ni Doeg, the Edomite, yung chief herdsman ni Saul, he drew his sword and killed them all. And di lang natapos ang killing spree ni Doeg, he went to Nob and killed all the remaining priests and their family, including women, children, and babies, pati lahat ng cattle, donkeys, sheep, and goats. Sabi dyan, 85 priests were killed that day, di pa kasama ang women, children, babies, cattle, donkeys, sheep, and goats. This was indeed genocide. By God's grace, may isang nakaligtas na anak, si Ahimelech, si Abiathar, who lived to tell the story to David. Let me ask you this question. If you were David, how will you feel? Will you blame yourself? Will you blame God because he has not saved the high priest? Will you cry to God with a closed fist towards heaven saying, Lord, you are unfair. Akala ko ba you have anointed me as king over Israel? Why you allowed the high priest na patayin? Or let me personalize it this way. Lord, akala ko ba I am your child? Bakit ganito ang nangyayari sa akin in this time of need? Will you ask that word? Or will you say, Lord, I will trust in your steadfast love because you are my father and I am your child. I will trust in my father's steadfast love. Out of that tragic event na nangyari, David made a skillful and artistic psalm that is full of wisdom. And yun po yung Psalm 52. And if you have your Bibles with you, open it with me sa Psalm 52. Sabi po dyan, no, Psalm 52. To the choir master, a maskil of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. Why do you boast of evil, O mighty man? The steadfast love of God endures all the day. Your tongue plots destruction like a sharp razor, you worker of deceit. You love evil more than good and lying more than speaking what is right. You love all words and that devour, O deceitful tongue. But God will break you down forever. He will snatch and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, saying, See, the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and sought refuge in his own destruction. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever because you have done it. I will wait for your name, for it is good in the presence of the godly. Out of these tragic events na nangyari kay David, David declared the steadfast love of God endures forever. Out of all these tragedies na nangyari sa life ni David, David gazed into the steadfast love of God. And there's one thing na lumabas sa kanyang mga labi that captures all the things that he wants to say. Sabi niya, O Lord, thy steadfast love endures forever. And etong theme of the steadfastness of God's love basically structured etong buong psalm. And makikita natin yan sa verse 1 saka sa verse 8. Sa verse 1, mababasa natin, Why do you boast, O evil man, O mighty man, the steadfast love of God endures all the day? Sa verse 8, But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. And when we speak of the steadfast love of God, we speak about God's covenantal, loyal love towards His people, Hesed. In verse 1, mababasa natin, Why do you boast, of evil, O mighty man, the steadfast love of God endures all the day. In a sense, here in verse 1, we see David mocking this evil man. Directly, he is pertaining to Doeg. In general, tinutukoy niya dito those who are not part of the covenant people of God, those who despise God. Sinasabi niya dito, you think you are a big shot? You brag about your evil deeds, you mighty man, you who think you are mighty, and you know what? You boast on your mighty evil deeds, I will boast on God's loyal love. And this loyal love does not endure, does not just endure for a day. It endures forever and ever. For David is saying, I will trust on God's faithfulness rather than on my accomplishment. And I will trust on the richness of God's mercy, love, and kindness. And David encourages us, no, by showing to us that God's enduring kindness towards us, His people, is shown in, una-una, His redemption from their enemies. Makikita natin yan sa verses 2 to 7. And God's enduring kindness towards us, His people, is shown in His preservation of their life from death. Makikita naman natin yan sa verses 8 to 9. Sometimes kasi when we face hardship, when we are faced with attacks from the enemy, we forget that we have a faithful covenant-keeping God whose love is ever-enduring. And it's such a blessing to be reminded of this wonderful truth from God written in Psalm 52. Now, for our first point, makikita natin that God's steadfast love is makikita natin in His redemption from our enemies. So, sa verses 2 to 7. So, God's enduring loving kindness toward His people is shown in His redemption from their enemies. So, isa po sa mga paborito ko pong series is yung Band of Brothers. And isa sa mga scenes na heartbreaking doon is nung time na niliberate nung Allied forces yung mga Jews sa isang Nazi Jewish concentration camp. So pagkatapos magupo ng mga Allied soldiers, yung front lines ng German army, finally narating nila itong Jewish camp na ito, and one by one, niliberate nila ang mga Jews from these Nazi Germans. And these Jews na deliberate nila were skin and bones, and sometimes no, yung iba were sleeping along with their fellow dead Jews. So imagine yung joy ng mga Jew knowing that finally they will be free. And these Allied soldiers freed yung mga Jewish captives by destroying their enemies. And here's a text natin, we see here David crying to God and trusting in God's enduring love. He is sure God will rescue His people. God will redeem His people. And paano niya yun gagawin? By destroying their enemies once and for all. Makikita natin ito sa verses 5 to 7. Now, in verses 2 to 4, David wrote yung description of his enemy. Sabi niya dito, your tongue plots destruction like a sharp razor, you worker of deceit. You love evil more than good and lying more than speaking what is right. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue. This enemy, si Doeg, has one weapon, his words. And inalintulad ito ni David sa isang sharp na razor or knife. Doeg's weapon, no, was his mouth. In James 3:8, James gave us a description of the tongue. Sabi niya dito, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. Rather than to bless God or bless others, Doeg used it to kill. And his words brought about the destruction of all the priestly families doon sa Nob. And applying yung mga tenses, makikita natin dito, He is continually destroying people, He is continually devouring people, He is continually deceiving people. Why? Because verse 3 sabi dyan, He loves evil more than good and lying more than speaking what is right. He loves all words that devour. And Doeg probably knew God has rejected Saul. Being yung chief shepherd, he was probably the one who have chosen yung mga best sheep ng flock or yung bull ng best bull of the herd when Saul spared yung mga Amalekites even if ang command ng Panginoon is to destroy them all. He might have witnessed how God rejected Saul when Samuel rebuked Saul. He might have also witnessed how God anointed David when Samuel anointed David and offered a sacrifice. But all these things don't matter kay Doeg. God's word through the prophet Samuel doesn't matter to him. And when Saul asks who is on his side, he raises his hand and sabi niya, ako po. And you know what, King Saul? I saw David and all of them in Nob are conspiring against you. I am on your side, even though God has rejected you because of your evil deeds. Maybe sa isip ni Doeg is that Saul will reward him, kaya niya ito ginawa, or maybe he doesn't believe God at all. Doeg loves evil because of its temporal rewards. He loves wealth, he loves power, he thought he is secured kay Saul, he thought there will be no eternal consequences. But for David, sabi niya, you boast as if you were indestructible. You know what? You will face a total and final ruin because God will surely judge. He will redeem His people by destroying their enemies because His love endures towards His covenant people. And He laid that out sa verses 5 to 7. So verse 5, sabi niya dyan, but. So nakita natin, but. So this is a contrast. And this is the contrast. God will break you down forever. You think you are secured sa iyong position? You think there will be no eternal consequences sa evil deeds na patuloy mong ginagawa? Kapatid, if you are living a life of defiance against God, remember God will judge. And when He will judge, it will be permanent. An evil person, a person who is living in a continued defiance against God, will be ruined forever. Sa previous verses, pinakita ni David what an evil man loves. Sa verses 5 to 7, he showed us what will be their judgment. If God's love for His people is everlasting, so too is the ruin He will bring upon those who despise and ignore God. The language here is very intense. Sabi niya dito, God will break, He will snatch, He will tear you down from your tent. So a tent is a place of security. It is a home where we feel secure. Here is a picture of God tearing down all things that give security to someone who lives in defiance against God. God will break you down forever. So this is a metaphor for demolishing a house. He will snatch and tear you from your tent. So parang forced evacuation. He will uproot you like a tree na firmly established na sa ground. God will uproot you from the land of the living. So the destruction of the wicked is total and final. And while God is displaying His righteousness in judgment, sa verse 6, na Psalm 52, mababasa natin, the righteous shall see and fear and shall laugh at Him. Now, the word see at saka yung fear is a play on words. Or play on words. So, para siyang beir you and beir rau. Hindi ako sure kung tama yung pronunciation ko. So, but it's a play on words. And the word fear is often associated sa sound or sa hearing. So, parang sinasabi dito ni David, the righteous will see and they will hear. And they shall laugh at him. Now, it doesn't mean that the righteous rejoice in the misery of others, in the misery of their enemies. Proverbs 24:17 is clear. Proverbs 24:17, sabi niya, do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and let not your heart be glad when he stumbles. And Christ commands us not to pray for our enemies, to love them. And if that is the case, then anong ibig sabihin itong verse na ito, verse 6? It means that at the righteous judgment of God, we will be witnesses and we will be in awe of God, not because we delight in the destruction of the wicked, but because we are in awe of the majestic display of God's righteous judgment. And in Revelation 19, verse 1 to 3, Revelation 19, verse 1 to 3, pinakita ni John yung picture ng rejoicing. Ano bang klase itong rejoicing na ito? Sabi dito, after this, I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven crying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for His judgment are true and just. For he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants. Once more they cried out, Hallelujah, the smoke from her goes up forever and ever. The righteous rejoice, not because they delight on seeing their enemies perish, but they rejoice because God's judgment is just and right. Come to think of it, mga kapatid, if all we do in our life is complain and complain to God sa mga bagay na wala tayong control, and the underlying message of that is that, Lord, you are so dumb. I have a better idea and you are not doing anything about it. A believer does not think that way. He walks by faith, he stands by faith, and he lives by faith. Deep inside his heart, he knows in all things na nangyayari, God is just, he is righteous, he is in control, and he is doing the right thing even though his mind cannot and will not comprehend it. The believer knows in the end, God will unfold His justice and righteousness, and on that day, he will be in awe of God's majestic splendor. And while the believer waits for that glorious unfolding of God's majesty, he waits patiently with persevering faith. With worshipful hearts, while enduring all hardships, the believer will worship like Paul and will also say, Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgment and how inscrutable His ways. For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. And David in Psalm 52, naintindihan niya yun. David was not glad because Doeg will perish. He was glad because on that day of God's righteous judgment, he will witness the glory and the majesty of God's righteousness in display. So this evil man, Doeg, who boasts in his evil works, will be shamed at God's righteous judgment. And going back sa verse 7 ng Psalm 52, makikita natin the reason of his shaming. See, the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and sought refuge in his own destruction. Doeg did not seek refuge in God, but rather he trusted in his own strength and power. He trusted in Saul. He loves himself more than God, and because of that, he will be destroyed. Maybe some of us see ourselves kay Doeg. Maybe we are trusting in our own strength and power too. Remember, God will destroy his enemies because of his loyal love towards his covenant people. And the righteous long for that day that they will see God's glory in display. That is why he can say, Lord, your love endures forever. Now, God's enduring love towards His people is not just shown in His redemption from their enemies, but also in persevering, in preserving them from death. Which points us to our second point na makikita natin sa verses 8 to 9. So verses 8 to 9, na makikita natin that God's enduring loving kindness towards His people is shown in His preservation of their life from death. So, hindi lang ang Panginoon will redeem us from our enemies. He will preserve us from death. If the wicked will face total and final ruin when God judges them, the righteous will be preserved of their life from death. Hindi ibig sabihin, they will not die a physical death. They will die, of course, but when they face God's holy heavenly court, no, they will be declared righteous not because of their own righteousness but because of faith in God's promises. So verse 8, makikita natin ulit, but. So it is like contrast. Again, no, so verses 5 to 7, nakita natin how God will destroy the wicked. He will break, He will snatch, He will uproot tulad ng isang puno. And in verse 8, David used this analogy ng isang puno. No? At sabi niya doon, but I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. At this point, hindi pa natatayo yung temple. And nung sinulat ito ni David, meron pa lang noon is yung tabernacle which was located sa Nob. And it was believed that the location of the tabernacle was the northern summit ng Mount Olives. So malami yun mga olives. And the olive tree is a symbol of endurance. It is one of the most enduring of trees. And in Israel, kahit na 1,000 years old na sila, no, yung mga ibang olive trees doon, still nagpro-produce sila ng bunga. Sinasabi dito ni David, I am like the green olive tree planted in the house of God. No. Kung nasan yung tabernacle, sa Mount Olives. Parang sinasabi niya, I am like the olive tree planted doon sa malapit sa tabernacle na even though 1,000 years old na, still nagpro-produce ng fruits. This is a picture of what a true believer is. As a believer, no, grows in faith, as the Lord adds years into his Christian life, he produces spiritual fruits. Kung walang fruit, walang root, sabi nga nila. Unlike the wicked who will be uprooted, the righteous is firmly rooted in the house of God. For a believer, the worship of God is the center of his life. And for David, he is the green olive tree that thrives, that is firmly rooted in the house of God, not because he is a strong tree, but because God is holding him. In Psalm 18, David wrote this, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. I am saved from my enemies. In and of himself, David is a weak tree. The only reason he is a green, thriving olive tree, not strong, because God is his gardener. Sometimes we have this thinking that because we are faithful, that is why God is faithful to me, kaya ako nabibless. When we think that way, we are removing God as the source of our salvation, and we are replacing an idol there, and that idol is ourself. A righteous person doesn't think that way. Naintindihan niya that all these things pertaining to his life, all these things pertaining to his salvation, comes to him because God is faithful and gracious, not because he is faithful. And makikita natin dito sa mga nalalabing verses are three actions of a righteous man. Sabi ni David, I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. So this is an act of faith. David puts his faith on God's enduring love, not in his own steadfast love. Because we know at one point ng life ni David, he failed God. Unlike Doeg, that trusts in the abundance of his riches, David trusts in the steadfast love of God. Now, question is, for a time lang ba? Or as long as favorable lang sa kanya? Sabi niya dito, forever and ever. Ito mga kapatid, is an act of faith. He is saying here, I will trust in the steadfast love of God no matter what. Even though all odds were against me, I will trust in your steadfast love, O Lord. In verse 9, makita natin is an act of praise. So kung sa una is an act of faith, dito sa verse 9, makita natin an act of praise. I will thank you forever because you have done it. So there is faith, and this faith causes him to praise God. And what causes him to praise the Lord is because it is all God's work. What makes the olive green, the green olive tree, endures is not because in his capacity to hold on to the ground dahil sa kanyang strong roots or kasi mas magaling siyang sumipsip ng tubig. Alam ni David na ang lahat ng mga bagay na nangyayari sa kanya is because of God's covenant loyalty towards his covenant people. And this act of praise is grounded in faith. Because not all things na nangyari sa kanya ay maganda. So sinasabi dito, I will trust you, Lord. I will praise you in all things because I know you love me. So that is an act of praise. Now, meron din, hindi siya nagtapos sa act of praise, makikita natin, it is also an act of witness. Sabi ni David, I will wait for your name for it is good. In your unfolding of your divine plan for your name's sake, I will wait, Lord, I will be a faithful witness of you for it is good. Now, do you have any idea what is at stake if God will not fulfill His promise to save us? What is at stake is His name. If God will fail to keep His promise to save His people, then He is a liar. He is an unfaithful God, but we know not a God like that. Like David, we know our God is a covenant-keeping God. That is His name. That is why, like David, we will trust and wait on His promises. Sabi dito, for it is good. Now, the word good has a sense in which it means pleasant or agreeable to the senses. Parang sinasabi ni David, I will wait on God, no? Because He is the sweetest thing I will ever taste. He's the most pleasant sight I will ever see. He's the sweetest aroma I will ever smell. He's the most loving embrace I will ever feel. Like a loving wife who longs for her husband to fulfill his promise to return. Who day by day waits patiently for him. She will wear yung finest clothes. She will wear the sweetest perfume. She will prepare the tastiest meal. Yet all the grandeur of her preparation is nothing compared to the experience of seeing, smelling, touching, and embracing her husband. While David waits on God, he waits as a faithful witness and he longs for that day. Then David added, in the presence of the godly. Or we can say, in the presence of the godly ones. So, it involves waiting, being a witness in a community. For David, yung kanyang hopeful waiting was public. For David, serving and worshiping God in hope is a communal exercise. So while he is waiting how the Lord will unfold his purposes according to his enduring love, he is waiting in the presence of the godly ones, he is waiting in the community of believers. Now as we come to a close, the ultimate question is, whose side are you in? Are you with the godly ones who by faith trust in God's promises? The godly ones in whom God's enduring faithful love is shown in His redemption from their enemies, in His preservation of their life from death? Or are you one with the wicked who trust in their own strength, who trust in the abundance of their riches? The wicked who will perish in front of a holy judge in his holy court in that day wherein all people will be subjected to him. If you are a believer in Christ, kapatid, I encourage you to trust in God's enduring love. He will fulfill his promise, and what we need to do is to wait for him patiently. And if you are not sure whose side are you in, if you are not sure if you are saved, it is not yet too late. God has provided a sacrifice for my sins and yours. 1,000 years ago, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross in our behalf for our sins. On the third day, He rose again. He conquered sin and death to prove that He is able to save those who put their faith in Him for salvation. That is the gospel. And the gospel is not cheap. It cost God His only begotten Son in order to save us, because we cannot save ourselves. There is no goodness in us for us to merit heaven. Lahat ng ating mabubuting gawa are filthy rags before Him. And if you acknowledge your sinfulness before God and repent of your sins and put your faith in Christ, God promised to forgive and grant eternal life to all who trust in His Son for their salvation. I pray and I hope every one of us would examine ourselves in light of these wonderful truths. Tayo pong lahat ay manalangin. Panginoon, maraming pong salamat sa iyong salita. Sa iyo pong lingkod na si David, who gave us this wonderful psalm, Panginoon, for us to remember your faithfulness in his life, in our life, Panginoon. Your love endures forever, Lord, and you promise to save your people. And as your people, Panginoon, may we trust in you with all our hearts. May you wait for you patiently, Panginoon, as you unfold your purposes sa mga nangyayari ngayon. And we thank you, Lord, and we know, Lord, that you will preserve us. I pray, Lord, for everyone, Panginoon, who is hearing this message, Panginoon, they may examine themselves in light of this truth. And we thank you, Lord, for the comfort. And we thank you, Lord, for the understanding that you have given us. And may you bless us, Panginoon, this day. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
As we give our offering this morning, let us remember what the Apostle says or has written in 2 Corinthians 8 verses 12 to 15. And it says, "For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much have nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack." As we all know, we are still in general community quarantine, and as such, we are still not able to gather together as a community of believers. We still encourage each and everyone to give your respective offerings via online deposit to GCF East Inc. BPI current account number 4091004203 or through GCF East PayPal account at gcfeast.org/give/, both of which you can see on your screen. A third method will be to visit our church and drop your offering in the offering box. Thank you and God bless.